Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It is Dukes and Bell. Braves up in Philly. Bottom of the sixth, it's 3-2. I only mention this because Ronald Acuna was not in the starting lineup today. As a matter of fact, Stuart Fairchild was in the lineup. It has not been officially announced, but it looked like he dislocated his right pinky on a slide when he was caught stealing to end the fourth inning. Enter Ronald Acuna. Acuna comes in, Mike, and immediately has an impact. He's got an RBI and a hit already, and the Braves are now down 3-2, as I mentioned. But the thing about this is you're going, okay, that's great, Dukes. Listen, Mike and I both said this when we started the show. Why was Acuna sitting? And by the way, it was a two-out RBI, Olson. A two-out RBI when you have to come through big with guys on base. So, you know, my thing is all of these games matter right now. This is a big division series. And I would have preferred for Ronald to start. Either way, he's already in the game. Bottom of the sixth now. It just ended, and Mike, we're down one run.
Yeah, I texted Carl when I saw this today from Grant. I was like, I get it. It's a doubleheader, but you didn't play yesterday. And this is a team that you're looking up in the standings, and you lose a full game when you lose to these guys. I said to Carl during the commercial break, like you're playing the A's, okay? This really has a little more juice to it, although it's still early in the season. Either way, I like Snicket. I've always defended him, but I thought that was a weak move today.
All right, before we get into fourth and one, which is brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Centers, check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Coming up in less than 15 minutes, our buddy Sam Mitchell, Sirius XM. He covers and certainly played in the NBA for a long time. NBA TV, we'll get into all of the playoff conversation, and we'll ask him about Ant-Man as well here in about 15 minutes. The Falcons signed someone.
Yeah, man, we were wondering when this was going to go down, basically all throughout the preseason, you know, all pre-draft, and that was Ryan Neuzel. Because Drew Dalman signed with the Bears, right? And Neuzel was out there, and it was a tendered offer where basically we could match, the Falcons could match anybody who threw a contract at him. Not sure if that ever happened, but Ryan Neuzel signs a two-year, $9.5 million deal with the Falcons, $6.5 million in guaranteed money, so basically pennies on the dollar by NFL standards. His agent, Drew Rosenhaus, reports that to Adam Schefter. Mark Ramondi tweeted it. He was a restricted free agent in the offseason. He's already been practicing, so he's been a part of OTAs as the deal was getting done. So good for him. They're certainly happy with him. We wondered whether they were going to try to maybe kick the tires in free agency. There weren't many centers out there, and we didn't draft anybody necessarily that could play center, so it's Ryan Neuzel's oyster.
Yeah, it's his job. And now that just makes it even more so official because we didn't know what the contract was going to look like. Mike, very reasonable with what they did there. Hey, man, more on the Falcons coming up. Sam Mitchell's on the way right now, though. Let's get to fourth and one. Everybody wondered, is he going to play both ways all the time? We're talking about Travis Hunter, Atlanta's own, who is now a Jacksonville Jaguar. Mike, Liam Cohen, who's the new head coach, says, look, he won't practice both sides of the ball the same day. So one day it's defense, if they're going to do this. The next day it's offense. Look, I don't know what this is going to look like when the season rolls around. Would you use him, by the way, like this? How much would you use him? We've had this discussion, Mike. 60%? 50%? 80% on offense? How much are you using Travis Hunter?
See, I said this, you know, pre-draft, and it's going to be a matter of how imaginative the offense and the defense he goes to, and a coach is cool with it, you know. And I would say if you feel this guy's the better wide receiver, then you can bring him in the nickel, you know, or you can bring him in your dime package. I mean, the way it was kind of explained to us, he was a wide receiver first, right? So you still have an ability in situations, and certainly if you've got a third and long, or you know, you've got multiple wide receivers out there that you're kind of anticipating that, then why don't you put out one of your best defenders? I just think you're not going to have him go Chuck Bednarik. He's not going to play 200 play. I get all that, but I just think there's got to be a rhythm and a balance to it, which may change from game to game. But to me, you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't get him out there.
Here's the head coach of the Jags, Liam Cohen, talking about this.
We won't put him in that situation to have him do that, although I'm sure he'd probably want to. He still meets defensively every day that he's on offense, so he's getting the mental part of it and being able to catch up on some of the communication, some of the corrections off the film from the defensive side of the ball. So he's getting a lot of the mental, and it would probably be unfair to put him out on the grass and do both and ask him to go do that and see success.
It's a bold trade, guys. They're trying to get some buzz down there in Jacksonville. Trevor Lawrence, they're getting him another weapon potentially. We'll see how it shakes out. Meanwhile, Mike, Caleb Williams addressing the media for almost 4 minutes yesterday. I thought this was an apology, to be honest with you. I thought it was him saying, yeah, I kind of didn't want to come to Chicago. And then he said, but I came here and I met with everybody and I'm glad I'm here and we're going to change the course of this thing. But if he doesn't address it, then everybody, including us, thinks that he doesn't want to be there. Because that's the report from right. Chef Wickersham, who has this new book coming out that says, hey, his dad was trying to get him up out of there. They were trying to avoid going to Chicago.
And that story and that book that you mentioned coming out, I mean, you can imagine. We were joking around the day it dropped, you know, Chicago Talk Radio, like that old cab driver had. If Fields don't want to be here, he can get the hell out of here. I mean, and tell your listeners what a blank off Jay Cutler is while you're at it. So, yeah, that's a tough town, you know, where there was already a perception that this guy was West Coast soft, even though he did start his career in Oklahoma. And there was already a lot of old, you know, farts when it came to pre-draft stuff. Remember the stuff that was said about him, his passion for the game? You know, and so you're already kind of behind the eight ball. Not to mention, you didn't have a great coaching staff for him. So his first year was basically a waste of everyone's time. So, yeah, I think he's got to do a little bit of fence mending on that one. But just, you know, just blame your dad. Yeah, my dad said that. I love Chicago.
He said he shut his dad down a little bit throughout this process. Here's Caleb Williams, the Bears quarterback.
Through all of, you know, what was, you know, going on, through all of what happened in, you know, last year and previous years, I think that was enticing. I think that was something that was glaring to me that, you know, I wanted to come here and, you know, be the guy and be a part and be a reason on why, you know, Chicago Bears turned this thing around. So that last thing that was said and all of that, I think was the most important thing, is that I wanted to be here, that I love being here. I love my teammates. You know, I love all the people that got me here.
Okay.
There you go. There you go. Put it up. Hey, you know what? You throw for 300 yards the first week, no one's going to remember what your dad said about Chicago. You win. And a few touchdowns wouldn't hurt.
That's it. Kenny Pickett, by the way, was with the Eagles. He's now with the Browns. He's one of the guys.
Too close.
That is competing. Look, they're all competing for the backup job right now. It's Joe Flacco's job, at least to start the season, we think. But Kenny Pickett said, look, the Eagles showed me some things, and I am able to bring that here.
I'm extremely grateful for my time in Philly. I think I just, you know, we're showing how it's supposed to be done, really, from the top down. So when you get a chance to see what it's supposed to look like and how it should look on a day-to-day basis, not just on Sundays, you know, I think it'll pay dividends for me, you know, in the future.
I guess that didn't happen in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, nobody wants you there in Cleveland, Kenny. Let's be real.
Is he taking a shot there?
A little bit.
You're telling me the Steelers don't know how to do it day in and day out? Like. To me, that's a cheap shot.
Yeah. I mean, is that directed at Arthur? Or he's already gone? Arthur was with us when that was going down.
But remember, Pickett, and we're talking about Mike Tomlin, when he was like, you're not as good. Fine, I'll trade you.
Look, they had 4 years to handicap this guy as a draft pick. And he was so average.
He was average.
He doesn't pass the eye test. I mean, he's looking up at Mitchell Trubisky, you know, career-wise. And then to add insult to injury, the Browns, what is your take on this? The fact that Cleveland put it out there on social media, keeping track of stats for OTAs, like, you know, Shedeur Sanders had an imaginary touchdown over the two imaginary touchdowns that, you know, somebody else threw. What do you make of that?
Yeah, they put out a graphic, and it had Joe Flacco was 9 of 12 today and 0 touchdowns. Shedeur was 10 of 16 and 3 touchdowns and whatnot.
They're trying to make him look right. Look, certain guys.
Throwing against air or 7-on-7s, right?
Yeah, no pressure. Nobody's getting tackled and nobody is in your face. 9-on-7, 11-on-11. I don't care what it is. Look, this is about timing and placement and accuracy. I told you guys he had all that. Shador's got all that, right? So if that is the reports, which I'm laughing at, great. We shouldn't be surprised. If you're going, man, he's accurate. He was accurate. in college is 74%, guys, over 2 years. It's the best accuracy of any quarterback in college football over the last 5 or 6 years. With that said, Mike, this is overinflated. I mean, who cares about what guys' percentages are in OTAs? Either way, I don't know. I shouldn't be surprised. Hey, man, let's hear from John Harbaugh. Mike, how hard was it to cut Justin Tucker, one of the best kickers ever?
You're talking about, you know, arguably the best kicker in the history of the game, you know? And like we said, it's multi-layered, it's complicated, but you've got to, in the end, it all backs up, it all comes back to what you have to do to get ready for your team to play the first game. And I think if you step back and you take a look at all the issues and all the ramifications, you can understand that, you know, we've got to get our football team ready and we've got to have a kicker ready to go. And that was the move that we decided to make.
Was it really that hard, though?
No, he was terrible, and then he has all this weird sex stuff, allegedly, off the field. You know, I remember we had Mina Kimes, other people were losing their minds at the Ravens when they cut him loose, kind of paid tribute to his accomplishments on the field, because he's never coming back.
Yeah.
You know, that was why. I mean, and, you know, they just wanted a terse, Justin Tucker's been released, and that's it. And they decided no, because he still has not had any civil suits play out, and this is still America, where you're innocent until proven guilty, even in the court of public opinion. But he was terrible. Getting back to the matter at hand, this guy went from being one of the greatest money kickers in the NFL, Carl, to missing extra points and just being totally unreliable.
Yeah, Mike, I didn't think, to your point, look, with all the smoke, this wasn't a hard decision. It just wasn't. This wasn't like, man, he's done nothing. I don't know. Like, you put all that out there, and I think everybody in the room, you're shaking your head. Yeah, he's got to go. He's got to go.
Right.
He's got to go.
It's just untenable. Curious to see, speaking of our kicker, because Koo has been in the same situation. Not the off-the-field stuff.
Sure.
But, I mean, the Koo's been so money. And then, unfortunately, he just lost his way and cost us a bunch of games. And, look, if you got an injury, that's not an excuse. If you're out there in uniform, coaching staff expects you to perform. You know, unless you're that bump we brought in against the Commanders, in which case it was, I guess the range is kind of like 35 yards and in.
Bum.
Justin Fields, Carl, speaking of Fields and former Arthur Smith protege, says no added emotion playing the Steelers in week one for the Jets.
Liar!
Yeah, I think that's going to be a fib. I think he's going to look to certainly put some points on the board. Still waiting to see who that quarterback's going to be. We're going to talk to Steve Wyche next hour and see if Steve's got any insight about the whole Aaron Rodgers thing, which still hasn't happened with them.
No, and look, I said, Mike, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I ain't showing up to a camp. Seriously. Mm. And if the Steelers don't do anything from a quarterback perspective, Kirk Cousins, meaning they make a move to go get him, then they know that that's the situation. Guys, that's late July. That's mid-July, at least, for teams to start preparing for camp. All right, we're coming back. Sam Mitchell's going to join us. SiriusXM, NBA TV, longtime coach and player in the league. We'll ask Sam about all the things that are going on in the NBA, and OKC is in the NBA Finals.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We know one team that's already in the NBA Finals. He is our dude, Sam Mitchell. SiriusXM, NBA TV, longtime coach, player in the league, and one of our favorite guests to get
on. He's cool.
He is. He's our dude. Sam, man, look, we've been talking about – I want to start with Ant-Man before we get into OKC and how good they are and all this. Mike and I, we've been critical of Ant-Man. I want to get your opinion on this. I mean, he shot it 18 times last night, but there were two games – in this series where he only shot it 13 times, and I just thought the excuses were lame because he's so talented. What was your assessment on Ant-Man's play in this series?
I didn't think he played very well, just to be totally honest, which I didn't think Minnesota as a team played well, especially in this series. You know, I expected them to beat the Warriors and the Lakers because they're just so much more physically dominant and bigger and athletic and younger. But even though I picked Minnesota, but I thought OKC would win it, I picked OKC at the beginning of the season to win the championship. And I understand why. But Ant-Man, he's young. He kind of reminds me of Dan Marino. Remember Marino went to the Super Bowl his first year? And
yep.
He just kind of blew it off when he lost, kind of like, well, I'm young, I'll be back. And
right.
He never got back. Now, I hope that's not the case for Anthony. But this is the thing I do appreciate what he said. He understands what he's got to do to get better. Mm. Like, his ball handling was really shaky. Like, part of the reason Minnesota struggled with OKC pressure, they couldn't handle the ball. And poor Mike Conley, who was the best ball handler for them, he looked like me out there trying to play, man, an old, shorter version of me. And they were just attacking him. Everybody who he tried to guard, he was just too little, too slow, too old. And so OKC is a superior team. But I think Anthony Edwards understands he's got to get better. And if he's going to play that de facto point guard position in big games like this, the difference between he and Shea, it's the ball handling. Shea can master that basketball. Anthony has it. But his attitude, did it really bother me? Not really, because I've seen this guy when the games, when it's time to play,
right,
go to another level and just compete. I just think what he realized in this series, and it hit him like a bucket of ice water, that OKC was just that much better.
Right. And that's the thing, Sam.
I think that's what it was. It's right. Just like, damn. You know, on film, I thought we could hang, but getting out here on the floor with him, gee, they're just better. And that's what I saw in his face. They're just better.
I just think, you know, I don't know how you approach it, Sam, back in the day as a player, but, you know, sometimes you just got to keep that swagger to drive you. And as you said it, he kind of looked around. He would get to the basket.
You got a lot of yourself.
Yeah. I mean, they just, three guys would collapse on him, and it was like, damn, I can't even get the ball to anybody right now.
It's he funny. Could, man.
Right. But, no, the thing is, and just bringing it over to SGA, love this guy's game. And I don't want to compare guys to Kobe. That's not fair. But he just seems to have, like, a focus and just a vibe. It's a little Kobe-like.
To me, he's a 6'6 Sam Cassell.
Mm.
He doesn't do – and he's a sneaky athlete. He's a much better athlete than what you think. He's not really quick with the ball. Guys, think about it. Two of the best guys with the basketball in our league are not great athletes. That's Luka and that's Shea.
Right.
Think about all this. Anthony Edwards can jump out the gym, can fly like Superman. Think about all these guys. Tatum, they can all fly. Jaylen Brown, they can just fly through the air.
Right.
But our best basketball player,
Joker,
the Joker,
yeah,
Shea, Luka, the little dude in New York, Jalen Brunson, because he's not a great athlete. It's all footwork and understanding how to play. So if you look at basketball today, our best players are not the greatest athletes. And so, and I love that because I wasn't a great athlete. But man, that dude Shea, he's on a different level, man. He is. He's the complete package. And now we see why he's MVP. And think about this, guys. There is a huge gap between people talk about, is Anthony Edwards is the next best American that can win MVP? Well, if he is, look at the gap between he and Shea right now. Look at the gap between he and the Joker.
Yeah.
And Giannis. And Luka.
It's a great point. And what Sam is telling you is that the international players are just much better right now.
Right.
And they're leading
they
the way.
They're better basketball players.
They are. And that's where we are. Sam Mitchell, our guest, guys. We're talking NBA playoffs. You can hear him SiriusXM and watch him NBA TV and all the things that Sam does. I want to ask you about these Knicks, man, because, look, I thought this was a wrap. They're down 20. And then Cat goes off in that fourth quarter where he scores 20 points, match the entire Indiana fourth quarter output. And then they get back into this series, and then the Pacers come back, and Tyrese Halliburton. So let's go from SGA to Tyrese Halliburton. What's your assessment there? Because who is Tyrese Halliburton, and how has he come on like this? Because this is a cat that didn't even play in the Olympics last year.
Right.
No, he didn't. But think about what he's been through. He signed a huge deal, made the All-Star team, signed a max deal, was an Olympian, didn't get much playing time. And then all of a sudden, he gets voted the most overrated player. Jealous. Okay. The only thing he's done, and then his dad picks a fight with Giannis.
Right.
Okay. The only thing he's done since then since then, and I'll go back to my Southern roots without the bad language. He's taken his right foot and planted it so far up everybody behind that he's played against. He's walking with a limp right now. And when they ask him where his foot is, it's in the back of somebody behind. So that's how great he's played. Look, man, look, it's going to be interesting. I know people, a lot of Knicks fans out there, but wouldn't you like to see Indiana and OKC get up and down the floor against each other in the finals? Wouldn't you like to see Halliburton and Shea go at it? Two guys. And then it wouldn't be that holding and grabbing and physical contact. But, man, Halliburton and the Indiana Pacers. Look, I thought the Knicks would beat them because the Knicks starting five is just, to me, on paper better. But as a team, coaching with depth and Pascal Siakam and just all the guys, Miles Turner, and the way Halliburton has played, I'm telling you, man, and Rick Carlisle has won a championship, and we know how good a coach he is. But we need to just love on him some more, man, because Rick Carlisle can flat out coach. Think about where the Pacers has been. They haven't been picked in the last 2 years to finish, to go to the Western Conference Finals, and yet they've been there the last 2 years and one game away from getting to the finals.
It's a good point, man. As we said, we could have had Siakam here. Sam Mitchell joins us, guys, on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Yep. Siakam's kind of that special sauce.
You could have had Miles Turner.
I know.
4 years ago, the Pacers were trying to give him away for a second-round pick because they thought he made too much money.
Yeah. Right? And that's the kind of front court stuff we just don't have here in Atlanta. Hey, by the way, speaking of front court, you think Cat, he'll have to do it. Can Karl-Anthony Towns do it again, what he did in Game 3?
Man, it was a good sign that when he got banged up, he came back. But big men and injuries, man. And Cat needs his mobility. I know sometimes he looks a little out of control. But, guys, think about it. When somebody's 6'11", 270, and a little bit out of control, swinging them elbows and coming down the lane, you tend to get out the way a little bit, right? And so they're going to miss that physicality, his shooting. But I'm concerned that if he's not on, because they're going to have to play probably their second best game to win this game tonight. Now, it's going to be hard for Indiana to go into the Garden and win this game, but it would not surprise me with the way the Pacers have played this year. And it just seems like they've got something over the Knicks, and the Knicks just can't shake it.
Sam, I want to ask you this. This is not this playoff related, but Mike and I got into this this Celtic series, this documentary.
Yeah, Celtic City.
Celtic City. And there is a point in this documentary where obviously they make the move to go get KG. And I know you and KG played together. You guys were good friends. And one of the things they talked about, and I just want you to give me a story, if you will, or at least relate to this, because they mentioned, Paul Pierce is like, look, when he got here, dude, nobody practiced as hard as he did. And he would elevate our practices. And, you know, part of this documentary is Doc Rivers at the time asked each one of his stars, that was the big three in Boston, what are you willing to give up? And KG's like, I'm willing to give up anything to win one.
Right.
And so I found that interesting because I don't think that's something that people know necessarily about KG and the competitiveness at practice. We're talking about practice.
Let me tell you a quick story.
All right.
Let me tell y'all a story, man. This God is true. This happened. We played the Boston, when I was the head coach of the Raptors, we played the Celtics in Rome in the exhibition game, right? So Doc Rivers comes up, and we're staying in the same hotel as the Celtics. No problem. Doc Rivers comes up to me, knocks on my door, like, coach. I'm like, what's up, Doc? I need you to talk to KG. I'm like, oh, hold up, what's wrong? Hey, man, this dude practiced so hard. Like, and Doc thought KG was trying to impress them, right? So he's going on how hard he practiced. And then when Doc kick him out of practice, he'll stand on the sideline, and while everybody's running up and down the court, he'll run up and down the court with them on the sideline, get into a defensive slide, go up, imitate going up for a rebound, outletting the ball, running, right? On the sideline when he's supposed to be resting and drinking water. So Doc Rivers wanted me to talk to KG, and I burst out laughing. And Doc is 1,000% deadly serious. Like, he's ready to smack the heck out of me for laughing. And I said, Doc, I was with him for 8 years. He's going to practice like that every day. Every day. I said, it's not going to change. I said, and if he's hurt, He's going to practice. If he played 40 minutes the night before, he's going to practice. If you call practice after a back-to-back, he's going to practice. I said, the reason I played until I was 40 was because of him. Mm. I had to guard him every day in practice. So, dude, that's just who he is, right? He lives by it. He eats it. He believes it. And that's why Boston couldn't help but Ray Allen elevate his defense, Paul Pierce. And Doc Rivers then thought this was a rouge, but this is who Kevin Garnett, I saw it, guys, from the very first day of practice. If we wanted to give, some days we would talk to Flip and say, Flip, KG need to stay home. He's injured, he's tired. But he's making us look bad. Listen to us. No, because he needed rest, right? He wouldn't take a day off. Mm. This is what Flip would do. KG's aunt lived with him, and she took care of him. We would call his aunt, and they would make me do it. And I would make her hide his car keys so he couldn't come to practice. And I would call his buddy and tell him he could not answer the phone and go pick up KG. Yeah. That's the only way we could get him to take a day off. Because if he came to the gym, he was going to work. Listen to what he thought would take him out of the scrimmage, and he would run up and down on the sideline imitating being in the scrimmage.
Crazy. Yeah, who does that? And by the way, rest in peace, Flip Saunders, who passed away in 2015. That's who.
Good man.
No doubt. That's who Sam is alluding to. I just wanted you to expound on that because here's the point. All these great players, and Sam, you lived it, that I've ever been around, practice hard. And we take it for granted that they just show up in these games and they're able to do what they do. All these dudes practice. And KG, that was an example because I know you knew firsthand, but I found that interesting in that Celtics doc because he went there and changed the culture.
Carl, my very first training camp with the Houston Rockets, 1985, I was third round pick. It was Akeem, Ralph Sampson, Rodney McCray, all them guys, Lewis Lloyd, Mitchell Wiggins, all them guys. The second day of practice, I called my mother in training camp. She said, "Baby, how is it going?" I said, "Mama, I'll be home soon." She said, "Why?" I said, "Mama, this is hard. These guys play hard." And guys, I had just came from basic training, in shape, running 5 miles every day with army boots on, getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning doing PT. And them guys, they go hard, man. People don't understand. It was, even for me, who was a hard worker, it blew me away.
Yeah.
Those guys, the great ones, and the great ones work even harder. The Michael Jordans, the LaKobes, the LeBrons, the Kevin Garnett, they go harder than everybody else.
It's crazy. Man, thanks for sharing that. As always, it's a pleasure to have you on. Sam Mitchell, guys, check him out. SiriusXM, NBA TV, you watch him. We'll see what happens, man, with tonight's game, and I'm with you. I hope we get an interesting final when the finals start here in a week or so. Sam Mitchell, have a great weekend.
It's time, man. It's time for two small markets. It's time for OKC and Indiana. Because what do we keep doing this for if the small markets can never get to the finals and compete and win? Why are we going to do this if only the LAs, the Boston, the New Yorks, and team, you know, big markets like that, if they're the only ones can win? What is the fun in that?
Well, it's interesting you say that because Mike and I are going to get into this a little bit later about neither one of those teams, if they do end up in the finals, are in the luxury tax. And that says they haven't spent like a lot of these teams
that you're talking about. They're getting ready. OKC, guys, listen to me. You heard it here first. They're getting ready to go on a Golden State run where they can win 4 out of 6, if not better.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, because they haven't. They've done it right financially.
And now they can augment that roster. They're young. They play great.
Hey, guys, think about something. They got all the draft picks. So let's say if a guy plays better than what they want to pay him, just move up one of them other first-round picks sitting at the end of your bench and let it, right under his rookie cap.
They got flexibility.
All they
got
to do is pay their top three players, and guys, they fill out the rest of their roster with first-round picks. That's what's crazy. Their entire roster, they can fill them out with first-round picks, all their subs.
It's going to be interesting. Sam, we got to run, man. Thanks so much.
All right, guys.
Brother, we'll talk soon.
You got it, man.
Sam Mitchell, great story.
And as he said, you know, we got to catch a break. We got Yeah Man, No Man coming up. But in the NFL, small markets like Indianapolis and New Orleans can win a title, but the NFL's ratings are always big. When you have a small market team with new faces on the scene that the casual fan doesn't know, it just doesn't generate the kind of ratings unless we'll find out if it does.
Yeah, it's harder. All right, man. Yeah, man, no man's on the way. Our buddy Sam Weiss is going to join us next hour. Also, we'll tell you the latest about what's going on with the scheduling in college football.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're right there. Coming up, Steve Weiss is going to join us. Great stuff from Sam Mitchell. If you missed that interview, it's online at Odyssey.com. Go rewind it. All right, we got to get to Yeah Man, No Man. Dede's out on vacation. Dom is in and has been all week long.
The Dominator.
The Dominator, that's right. We're going to start using that, right?
I think you know me. I come up with the nicknames around here.
Got to use it.
You are,
I like it.
Henceforth, the Dominator.
I love it, man. What's going on today, bro?
All righty. So I got a couple things that I want to talk to you guys today about. And first things first, I actually want to ask, because Mike, you said something yesterday that I didn't get a chance to ask you about in Yeah Man, No Man. You were talking about sleeping and that you haven't been getting a whole bunch of sleep because of the thunderstorms and stuff.
Yeah,
like
now
that,
the wife, or the wife snores like a friggin' freight train, man. And I keep it like trying to poke her, like, rub. You know, no, it's just the wife snores, big snorer.
Okay, got you.
Big snore.
So I wanted to clarify. So
relentless snoring.
I think we got it.
I mean, and I use ambient noise in the background.
Yeah, you got to.
I use I use airplane cabin noise, that white noise. So it's like. Mm-hmm. It's like and even and it's there's no rhythm to it, because if at least that, the snoring gets in the rhythm with the ambient noise, it'll all blend in together.
It blends together.
No, there's no. It's like
I think we got it.
All right.
My wife snores like Snicker Chortles. Anyway, back to you.
Wow.
All righty. So that actually led me to ask. I love when it rains and stuff like that. I feel like that's when I get the best sleep, thunderstorms and stuff. The same thing that you do as far as putting on the TV and stuff, like putting on rain sounds or something like that. So, Yeah Man, No Man, do you all agree that thunderstorms equal the best sleep, period?
Unfortunately, the last couple of weeks, we've had this kind of like War of the Worlds. Zoom! Right? Lightning never hits the same place twice. and enough light, ambient light comes in the room to wake me up at like 2 in the morning. So, I'm going to say No Man.
Yeah, I am a light sleeper for the most part, and if it is thundering, as Mike says, like, you know, when it's bad, I will normally wake up. I'll tell you what else, because my wife is a weather freak. Those alerts on her phone go off, right? So that's the other thing. Beep. This is a Fox 5. I'm like, come on. It's 2 a.m.
Yeah.
All right? So that also happens.
Max volume.
Oh, yeah. I mean, WSB. I mean, like, oh, come on. So those weather alerts go off. But
don't they have, like, a soft way to do it? Like, hey, it's Joanne Feldman. Like, hey, babe, it's Joanne Feldman. Wake up.
Yeah. It's always
a storm.
It's always, like, right here in your face because they got to get your attention. And I get it. But I would tell you, if it's a normal storm and at night, I do. I could sleep the night away with no issues, no problems. But if it's bad, I'm a warrior.
Yeah, me too.
And so I I've talked about the trees and all that stuff, and it just, like, you know, and especially when the wind's blowing, it's on your mind.
Yeah.
And so I will tell you that it just depends on the level of storm. But if it's normal rain, you know, 11 midnight or whatever. I'm done too.
My thing is just because now I'm like Carl. I'm a worry wart, and we have like this sort of tornado alley near Noonan, which is about 5 clicks south of where I live. And so it's always, and the house, the deal was we had the bargain was we had a pool, but that's why I've got a man loft, no man cave, because we're on a slab. So if there's some bad weather, you got to huddle in the steel encased, like under the stairs.
Yeah, yeah.
you know, with my Dan Marino helmet on.
And, and you got to have protection.
And a tiny, yeah. you know, Deion Sanders autographed mini helmet for the dog. But anyway.
Under the stairs, you got like a Harry Potter situation?
Literally, they have the previous owner had like these steel plates installed. So it is kind of like a safe space.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah. Look at that. Yeah. All right. Well, I am a huge fan of it. Like I said, I love thunderstorms. All right. Next up. Megan 2.0 is a movie that's coming out. It's about the little robot AI girl. But they released the popcorn bucket. And, of course, it's kind of just like, you know, it looks like her opens up, like, from the head or whatever. But it got me thinking, popcorn buckets, these limited edition ones, are right. becoming, like, a really big deal.
Oh, yeah, they
we
are.
Saw the one from Dune that looked a little questionable.
Yeah, it looked like something else.
Yeah.
Dune kind of looked like certain nerds would certainly enjoy it many ways, Carl.
Yeah,
exactly.
It was basically a popcorn bucket the size. It looked like one of the worms on Arrakis.
It did.
Yeah, it looked a little questionable. But yeah, man, no man, the popcorn buckets are getting out of control. We need to relax on them because I feel like we get them for every damn movie.
Well, now we do. And part of it is they also realize that if you're a fan of that movie or that series, you're going to buy it. It's like merch. Right?
Jurassic Park, they got a popcorn bucket for their next movie.
Correct. And so now people are literally taking them home as collector's items after they clean the huge bucket out. But look, I think they're cool. I just don't know, like, are they extra? Because that's the part
yes.
I don't know.
Yeah, they're right? They typically cost a little
cost
bit.
More.
Yeah.
So you're going to pay, what, $5 more on average?
Maybe even more.
Okay. So that's my issue. Like, if it just comes with the regular popcorn and, oh, here's a collector's item. But I think that's the thing that's driving this is the extra cost. It's extra revenue, et cetera. But I do like them. I'm like, I'm all for it. I'm going to say, yeah, man, I think it's cool. And look, we're always trying to enhance our movie experience. So, you know, we're all walking in with the same buckets in Jurassic Park, whatever it's going to be. Okay, that's cool. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I'm never going to take one. What am I going to do with it?
The bucket?
Yeah, we're going to use it.
Wash the car or something.
I mean, you want popcorn at home.
You can wash the car with it or something.
More junk to clutter the house.
It is much more.
Good job, Dominator. What's next?
All righty. So last one here before we get out, and it's kind of tying back into this conversation we were having with SGA not too long ago. Charles Barkley came out a few days ago and basically said, hey, NBA, Ant-Man isn't the face, SGA is. Mm. And that got me thinking, yeah, man, no, man, the NBA will actually embrace an international player to be the face of the league.
I kind of felt like they were trending that way with Giannis, but they still had LeBron on the clock, so there's no reason to do that.
Right.
But is that, I mean, SGA, because that's the thing, SGA, the funny, remember we had that conversation during the Olympics, the guy's like, why isn't SGA on the team? He's from Canada.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
I think they are going to, I'm talking about the league, they're going to do anything to embrace the growth of the league. And if having an international player like Joker or Giannis, which has done this, or, you know, SGA, who's the MVP, if it helps the league and continues to grow, I don't think they have an issue with it. I think we, as Americans, have an issue with it because for so long it's been an American who's led the way.
It's our sport.
It's our thing.
7 years of a non-American as MVP.
Yeah. So Sam Mitchell just mentioned this, and he's right. All the best players right now, sorry, are international dudes, right? These are guys that either have been born or come from another country and have come in and own the NBA. And so I don't know, man. I when you say embrace, and by the way, this whole face thing, let me say this. This is why it's important because some people think that it's not. The league, when David Stern was running the league and its growth, its incredible growth, it was all about pitting opponents and faces against each other. It's the Magic Bird thing. It's the Jordan face, right? So the thing is, the league has been built on these personalities, not teams. Mike just talked about the NFL. Who's the next quarterback of the Colts after Peyton Manning leaves? Well, I don't know, but I like the Colts. NBA wasn't built that way. The popularity didn't grow that way.
And it's funny how the NBA, they've gone through some of these sort of like, and they've got to find the heir apparent for LeBron. It was after MJ stepped away, and there was sort of pretenders. Remember Larry Johnson was going to be the guy?
Grandmama.
And then, you know, Shaq was going to be the, eventually Shaq did sort of become the guy, but Iverson, and it was funny because Iverson was like he had the street cred, but like, oh, Madison Avenue, like, I don't know about this, you know, in the league office. So it is interesting to see how that next guy becomes the dude. But yeah, I think at this stage, you could. At some point, and SGA could be that guy because Canada, despite what some people say, are cousins.
Yeah, no doubt. I don't have an issue with it. I don't think the league does because it helps grow the game, Dom. Yeah, man, on that. Good stuff.
That's all I got.
The Dominator!
Dominator!
Hey, man, coming up, we've got Sam Weiss who's going to join us. Mike, does he know anything about this Aaron Rodgers situation?
Well, we're going to definitely work on Wickety Wickety Weiss to get some 411 because if the Steelers can't get him in there, Could that be our final chance to get Cousins off the books?
And the Georgia Tech-Georgia game, the time of that game announced, along with some others. We'll fill you in coming up as part of our dog report next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.